You will hear a number of different recordings and you will have to answer questions on what you hear. There will be time for you to read the instructions and questions and you will have a chance to check your work. The test is in 4 sections. At the end of the test, you'll be given 10 minutes to transfer your answers to an answer sheet. You may now open your booklet and look at Section 1. Section 1. You will hear a woman booking tickets for a theatre performance. First, you have 30 seconds to look at questions 1 to 5. Now listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Good morning, the Crescent Theatre. How may I help you?
Oh, hello. I was told that the acting students from Birmingham City University are performing in a play at the theatre in the near future. Is that right?
Yes, it is. They do quite a few shows with us. Are you thinking about coming to see one?
I am, yes. I'm interested in studying acting at the university, so I'd love to see some of their work.
Okay, well, next month we've got 3 plays. There's King Lear, As You Like It, and The Merchant of Venice.
I see. Actually, I love The Merchant of Venice, so I'd like to see that at some point. But I think because I've just finished a study of King Lear, I'll come and see that first.
Okay, so King Lear is on every day from Monday the 11th of October to Saturday the 23rd.
What time does it start?
Our evening showings are at 7 o'clock on Monday and Thursday and at 8 o'clock on Friday. We also have afternoon performances on Friday at 2 o'clock and Saturday at 3 o'clock.
I'm not sure. How long is the play, by the way?
Including the interval, I'd say probably about 2 hours, maybe a bit longer.
In that case, I think perhaps Friday the 22nd at 8 o'clock is the best time for us.
Okay, let me just check the availability. Right, that's fine. We've still got quite a few seats left for that Friday evening performance. Now, I can direct you to the website to make your booking, or we can do it now over the phone, or you can come in person to our ticket desk at the theatre.
We may as well do it now over the phone, if that's okay.
Of course. How many tickets did you want?
2, please, for me and my mum.
Okay, and can I have your name, please?
Yes, it's Elizabeth Clark.
Can you spell your surname for me, please?
Of course. It's C-L-A-R-K-E.
C-L-A-R-K-E. Is that right?
Yes. Do you need my mum's name too?
No, it's okay. Both of the tickets will be in your name. The regular price for the tickets is £8 each, but we do have some special rates. People over 65 pay £5 and full-time students pay £3.
Oh, that's really good. My mum isn't quite 65 yet, but I'm in full-time education, so I should get the £3 rate.
Yes, you will. I'll just need to take a few more details from you for that.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have 30 seconds to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 6 to 10.
Right then. First of all, can I take your email address, please? We'll email your tickets to you.
Can I get them by post instead?
I'm sorry, we can only send electronic tickets.
I see. Okay, that's fine. My email address is lizzyc@hotmail.com. That's lizzyc@hotmail.com.
lizzyc@hotmail.com. Thank you. I'll need to take a phone number that we can contact you on as well, please.
I'll give you my mobile number. It's 0748 230 9115.
0748 230 9115. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, because you're getting the special student rate, you'll need to prove that you are a student. Have you got your student union card?
Yes, I've got it here in my bag somewhere.
Okay. I'll need the long number on the front of the card.
Just a second. Okay, here it is. The number is 9821365829185.
Thank you. And your date of birth?
It's the 31st of July, 1996.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And finally, how would you like to pay for your tickets?
What choices do I have?
If you want to continue booking over the phone, it will need to be a bank card. But you can still finish the booking on our website and use the online payment system. Or, instead, you can come to the theatre and pay cash.
I do prefer to use cash where possible. Can you hold those tickets for me until I can come into the theatre to pay for them?
Yes, that's no problem. They'll be held on the system now for 48 hours, actually.
Okay, that's great. It'll be nice to take a look around while I'm there as well. Are you open on Tuesdays?
The box office is open for ticket sales from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock. When you come in, you just need to give them your booking ID, which is AKJ74GQ.
I'll just read it back to you to see if I've got it right. It's AKJ74GQ. Is that correct?
Yes, perfect.
Great. Thank you.
This is the end of section one. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to section two. Section two. You will hear a talk on the activities that are available at a youth club. First, you have 30 seconds to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 15.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Min, and I'm the coordinator for Backstreet Youth Club. It's great to see so many of you here for today's introduction to the club. As you know, we provide workshops and activities for people aged 15 to 25. These are designed to help you become more independent, to learn more about the things you like, and to give you the opportunity to spend time with other young people doing things that you like to do. I'd like to start by introducing you to a few people who run different activities at the club. Once I've done that, they'll each give you a brief introduction to their area. Sitting on my right here is Maisie Lane. Next to Maisie is Alex Aziz. And next to Alex is Leo Thorpe. So Maisie, would you like to tell us about your area of interest first, please?
Yes, of course. Hello, everyone. So as you know, my name is Maisie Lane. And although I'm not famous, I am an experienced actress. I've worked on the radio, TV shows and some adverts. My real passion is theatre though. I really love performing on stage to a live audience. I run the drama and acting groups here. It doesn't matter whether you already have some acting skills or if you're a complete beginner. I've got a series of workshops and fun ideas to help you enjoy acting. And who knows, maybe you'll want to study further and consider developing your hobby into a career. That's what happened to me. In my sessions, we'll choose a play or a musical to perform in front of friends and family at the end of the year, which gives us something to work towards. The workshops cover things like the basics of acting, physical performance, singing and voice development. I know lots of people in the industry, so when they have time to come in, I run extra classes on things like stage combat, which is fighting. Well, not real fighting, of course, stage fighting. Also, different types of dance, depending on who's available. I can usually find someone to come and do an introductory session on jazz or ballroom dancing, and we are able to run hip-hop and modern dance classes from time to time. Finally, I can usually get someone to come and give a workshop on how to control your breathing to make your voice sound better, so that when you speak on stage, people at the very back of the theatre can hear you. So that's an overview of what I do. Now I'll hand over to Alex, our sports fanatic.
Thank you, Maisie. Hi everyone, I'm Alex. And as Maisie just said, I am crazy about sport. All sport. I've set up a few sports groups and teams that you could join. We all know the health benefits of sports, such as healthier minds and bodies. But joining our sports teams can really help to improve your social life too, and help you to develop the team playing skills that will be vital at university and work. There are quite a few groups, so I'll just tell you about the most popular ones now. But please do feel free to chat to me later and to look through our leaflet, which gives details of all the sports groups you could join. You'll find the leaflet in the little welcome pack that was on your chair.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have 30 seconds to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen carefully and answer questions 16 to 20.
Right, so our most popular group by far is our yoga club, which takes place every Wednesday, Thursday and Friday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Some people even come for every session. Whether you are a total beginner or advanced at doing yoga, there are classes for differing abilities, so you can make sure that you are doing the right level for you, and that you can progress when you are ready. For team sports, the most popular ones have got to be netball and basketball. Now, netball has traditionally been seen as a sport for girls, but we're breaking down that stereotype and have a mix of males and females on our two netball teams. It's a great sport, and if you join the team, we have regular Saturday morning competitions with other teams from around the country. The other most popular team sport is basketball. But we find that this team is often oversubscribed, so it's not always possible to get a place on the team. If there aren't places on the team, though, you can still come and use the facilities and get training from one of our more experienced team members. Anyway, like I said, there are loads more sports clubs and teams that I'll be happy to talk with you about. My email address and contact number are on the leaflet, so you can get in touch if we don't get a chance to talk later on today. I'll hand over now to Leo.
Hi everyone, I'm Leo Thorpe and I'm here to tell you about volunteering opportunities in the local area. Just in case you're new to the idea, volunteers are people who give their time and skills for free to help with a local project. In the past, we've done things like visiting older people in the community. We take the time to sit with them for a chat and a cup of tea. And we help them with things like shopping and housework, you know, things that they just need a hand with. We also have a project called Reader Leaders, where we go into local schools and work with small groups of children who are finding reading difficult. You don't need to be a teacher to do that. You just have to be positive, enthusiastic, and love books so that you can help to motivate the children to improve their reading. Now, if you're studying or have studied business management at university, you could really make a big difference by helping to run some of our projects. Please do let me know if you think you might be able to help with that. Giving up your time and skills to help others is really very satisfying, you know, and it's a brilliant way to make friends. On top of that, you'll gain new, valuable skills that will help you when applying for university or for work.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Maisie, Alex and Leo, for telling us a bit about all of the exciting things that we do here. And thank you all for listening. We'll be around for the next hour or so to chat with, and you can find more contact details and other information in the welcome packs that Alex mentioned earlier. I hope you find something you enjoy and that we'll see you on a regular basis at one or more of our clubs.
This is the end of section 2. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear two students discussing their project management research with their tutor. First, you have 30 seconds to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Well, you've both been looking at different aspects of project management. What have you found so far, Julian?
I've started with the basics, really, looking at exactly what projects are and how they are managed.
I see. OK. And what exactly is a project, then?
I've looked at a few different resources, including the ones on the reading list that you gave us. And I think that there is one common definition that works for almost any project. It seems that a project tends to be a singular activity or set of tasks which aims to achieve something specific within a given time limit.
Okay, so there's an aim for any project and a date by which that aim should be achieved. And is this true for any kind of project?
Yes, I think so. And as far as I can tell, most managers will work on projects from time to time. And most of these projects are small and are completed within 6 months to a year. They do sometimes work on large projects, though, which can take years to complete.
That's right. And larger projects are not always more important, are they?
No, they're not. Actually, the size of the project, or the length of time it takes to complete it, doesn't seem to show how important the project is. And small projects are often necessary before major improvements or changes can be made in a business. What is true for every size of project is that it will lead to the creation of something new, or a major change in how something is done. That's, of course, if the project is successful.
Yes, very true. You said you've been looking at how projects are managed. Can you give us a brief overview of what you've found?
Yes, all right. Although it's hard to be very specific because all projects are different, so there is no single way. The key point that I kept reading about was that project management involves the careful management of three things: budget, time, and quality. So that means considering your budget, in other words, the money you have available for the project, the time that you have to complete it, and the quality that is necessary.
That could be quite a tricky balance. So are you advised to produce lower quality if you don't have the time or money to do the best?
Well, it depends on the customer, really. You've got to find out what the most important aspect for them is, and make sure that you focus on that.
Yes, and you will of course have to manage different customers for the same project, and they might disagree about how important the budget is or how long it should take. So being able to deal with people in difficult situations is very important. Right. Well, thanks for that brief introduction. Before next week's meeting, I'd like you to research how project managers should communicate with the different people who may have an interest in the project.
Okay, will do.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have 30 seconds to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen carefully and answer questions 26 to 30.
So, Kate, you were asked to find out where projects usually fail so that we know what we should or shouldn't be doing. How did you get on?
Okay, I think. I've got a few ideas anyway. First of all, there are three obvious problems that can occur that are connected to what Julian was just saying about budget, time, and quality. So a project might go over budget and spend more money than there is available, or they might have to stop a project before the goal is achieved because money has run out. Secondly, it might take longer than planned to complete the project, which also might mean that they just have to end it before they achieve the aim. Finally, they might finish the project within budget and the time allowed, but the quality might be lower than expected.
Yes, that all makes sense. You said these were obvious reasons. Did you find any less obvious ones then?
Yes, a few. It seems that not making the project aims clear to the team is a surprisingly common problem. There are two effects of this on team members. One is that even if they are highly motivated and trying to do the right thing, they might get it wrong because they're not clear about the aims. Or they might feel really demotivated and not bother to try to complete the project because they don't really understand what the aim is.
Yes, you can see why they might feel like that. So have you found out anything about how to get teams to work better together?
Well, it's definitely a part of project management. I mean, if a manager is managing a project, then they need to make sure that they've considered the training that their team will need to achieve the aims of the project. People don't always have the necessary skills to complete a task, and it is part of a manager's responsibility to ensure that the team is equipped. And there's another aspect. If the project involves creating a new working system for everyone at the company, then everyone at the company will need to be trained to use it. Otherwise, a project that appears to be successful will actually fail at the last minute because nobody knows how to use the changes it has caused.
Of course, there's a lot to think about, isn't there? Okay, well, please continue looking at how to train staff. And when you come to our meeting next week, I'd like to see a few examples of projects that have failed and where you think they went wrong.
Okay, I'll do that.
Right. I think that's it for today. Well done to both of you for the research you've done so far. It's now crucial that you start thinking about the projects you will design and develop before next week's meeting so that we can talk about them as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you next week.
Yes. See you then. Bye.
This is the end of section 3. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now turn to section 4. Section 4. You will hear a talk on healthy eating. First, you have 1 minute to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Food is life. We eat it to grow, stay healthy, and have the energy to do everyday activities. The food we eat makes all of these things possible. But, as we all know, not all food is good for us, and what we choose to eat can have a major impact on every area of our lives. For example, studies have shown that children who eat a healthy breakfast do better at school than those who eat nothing at all or just have unhealthy snacks before school. The child who eats good food is able to pay attention for longer, remember more, and participate more actively in class. Research has also shown that adults who have a healthy diet perform better at their job and miss fewer days of work due to sickness. The findings seem clear. Because our food choices affect our health and behaviour, we must do more than just eat. We must eat well. For many people today, though, making healthy food choices isn't always easy. We are surrounded by information telling us what's good for our health and what isn't, but don't you find that usually this information is more confusing than it is helpful? In fact, different studies about the same food often produce conflicting results. Let's look at eggs, as an example. For years, research showed a link between eating eggs and having high cholesterol. Now, for those of you who don't know, cholesterol is a substance that is found in foods like meat, milk, and cheese that can cause some pretty serious health problems. So, to prevent some of the dangerous diseases linked to high cholesterol, like cancer and heart disease, people were encouraged to eat fewer eggs, or even to completely remove them from their diets. However, more recent studies say that eggs are actually good for you, and that most people can, and probably should, eat one every day. It's hard to know who to believe, isn't it? Shopping for food can also be challenging. During a visit to the supermarket, we often need to make many different choices. Should we buy this breakfast cereal or that one? Should we buy regular or fat-free milk? Should we buy chicken or tofu? It's hard to know which to choose, especially when two items are very similar, and many shoppers use the information on the product labels to help them decide. Not surprisingly, perhaps, people are more likely to buy items with the words low-fat or all-natural on them. But are these foods really better for you? Probably not, actually. For instance, when something is labelled as fat-free, people often assume that it is healthier, but it can often be just as high in calories as full-fat food, and consuming too many calories puts us at risk of being overweight. Some manufacturers also put lots of sugar into their fat-free ranges to make them taste better, but of course the sugar is as bad as, or maybe worse than, the fat in the original product. So, how do we make healthy choices? Well, Michael Pollan is a professor at the University of California and has written many books about eating well. In his opinion, our food needs to be protected from unnecessary and unhelpful modifications by the food industry. According to Pollan, we need to stop reading labels and listening to so-called food experts. He offers the following simple advice for eating well and staying healthy. His first tip is to not eat too much food and to eat mainly plants. In other words, he thinks we should only eat real food, or things that your great-grandparents would have eaten. He advises making fruit and vegetables our main source of food, and limiting the amount of meat we eat. And when we do eat, we should do so in moderation and stop eating before we are completely full. His second piece of advice is to avoid the supermarket whenever possible. Now, buying meat and dairy products at the supermarket is probably fine, but supermarkets are full of things like instant noodles, fizzy drinks, and lots of other food and drinks that really aren't good for us. It may be difficult with modern lifestyles, but when possible, he thinks we should buy our food from smaller, local shops, where there is a smaller range of unhealthy items to be tempted by. Finally, Pollan says that it is really important to recognise that food is about pleasure, friendship and family. It's not just a source of energy. In other words, choosing the right food is only the first step. Learning how to cook and sharing a meal with others are also integral to eating well and being healthy. Michael Pollan is a big supporter of the Edible Schoolyard project, which encourages schools to develop some of the land they have to grow their own fruit and vegetables. The project is really popular among local schools, which are using the gardens to help children learn about food production and healthy eating. The children also practice preparing the vegetables and cooking them in different ways, which is a skill that they will be able to use throughout their lives. And best of all, because the children are excited about eating food they have grown themselves, they learn to develop healthy eating habits. Ultimately, making healthy food choices and eating well doesn't have to be difficult. Doing simple things like changing your shopping habits, learning to cook, and limiting your intake of some foods can result in a better diet and a healthier you.
This is the end of section 4. You now have 30 seconds to check your answers. There are no more questions. You now have 10 minutes to transfer all of your answers to the listening answer sheet. Please do this carefully. You have 5 minutes left. You have 1 minute left. This is the end of the listening test. Please put your pen or pencil down and close your booklet.